Blog Talk Radio.
It is time. Yes, it is. Nick, creaky chair. That's my chair. Yes, it is. Hey, it's time for Awaken to America. It's time to awaken to empowerment. It is time for truth. It is time to save the USA. How y'all doing today? This is Carol Ann Parisi, and today is a very special day. It is the 15th of September of 2021, and we've got a great show lined up for you. Today is, it is Yom Kippur, the ninth of Tishrei, the ninth day of awe. Yes, we are going to go ahead, Kol Nidre, I think is how you say it, but we're going to go ahead and talk about the Day of Atonement, then we'll get into the Yasher Prayer Force part and a little bit of history of Yom Kippur. See, the Day of Atonement and its ritual, the Lord said to Moses, the 10th day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present an offering made to the Lord by fire. Do no work on that day because it is the Day of Atonement. When atonement is made for you before the Lord your God, anyone who does not deny himself on that day must be cut off from his people. I will destroy from among his people anyone who does any work on that day. You shall do no work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for generations to come. Wherever you live, it's Sabbath rest for you, and you must deny yourselves. From the evening of the ninth day of the month until the following evening, you are to observe your Sabbath. And that is Leviticus 23:26. See, there were golden bells on the hem of the high priest's garments. Critics delight to deduce theories from such details and have enjoyed themselves as they proclaim that this proves Israel's religion was not a revelation from God. They say that all Jews did was copy details from a contemporary paganism that impressed them, and they prove their point by cataloging cases in which pagans waken their sleeping gods by sounding bells. All one has to do is observe that golden bells on a high priest's garments were not gongs. They were teeny, tinkling golden bells. Only a god was awake and listening would hear them. Thus, the purpose of the bells was not to awaken God. It was to awake to hear the music. God commanded the Israelites in Exodus 28:33-35 to make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn around the hem of the robe with gold bells between them. The gold bells and the pomegranates are alternate around the hem of the robe. Aaron must wear it when he ministers. The sound of the bells will be heard when he enters the holy place before the Lord and when he comes out, so he will not die. See, when the people heard the sound of the golden bells, they knew that they had a living high priest. See, we cannot understand the importance of this, of having a living high priest more easily than observing somewhat involved in the Day of Atonement. So we have our high priest now, and that's Jesus. And there's music of the golden bells and, of course, our great high priest here. I beseech thee, O Lord, I have sinned. I have been iniquitous. I have transgressed against thee. O Lord, pardon the sins, iniquities, and the transgressions which I have committed against thee and my household, as it is said, on this day shall atonement be made for you, cleanse you from all your sins, and ye shall be clean before the Lord. God, we have our high priest, and that's Jesus. And God, you know that we need to pray and ask for forgiveness for our country. And there was a scapegoat. And very interesting stuff. The Levites, the high priest, and I guess there's going to be a future Day of Atonement too. But that's for our prophetic portion. Let's see. It is Tanakh, Yom Kippur. It's 10th Tishrei, 5782. And it's in Leviticus 16, 1 through 34, and Numbers 29, 7 through 11. So it starts tonight at sundown, and you're supposed to fast until sundown tomorrow night. It ends at nightfall Thursday, September 16th, 2021. So it's the Day of Atonement. It's for the Hebrew year of 5782. It begins tonight, Wednesday, September 15th, at sundown. And will end tomorrow at nightfall. Yom Kippur is also known as the Day of Atonement. It is the holiest day for the Jews. Its central themes are atonement and repentance. Jews traditionally observe this holy day with a 25-hour period of fasting and intensive prayer, often spending most of the day in synagogue services. Yom Kippur completes the annual period in Judaism known as the High Holy Days, or sometimes known as the Day of Awe. And here, this is from Wikipedia. It is the holiest day, of course. We said that. Yom Kippurim, repentance. We must fast and confess and intensively pray to God. So here's some etymology, and I'm going to read a little bit about the heavenly books and general observances. Then we'll get into our Yasha prayer force. But yes, it's tonight. And it starts at sunset. So the etymology, Yom, means day, and in Hebrew, Kippur is translated into atonement. The common English translation of Yom Kippur is Day of Atonement. However, this translation lacks precision. The name Yom Kippur is based on the biblical verse, but on the 10th day of the 7th month is the day of Kippurim unto you. And that is from Leviticus 23:27. The literal translation of Kippurim is cleansing. Yom Kippur is a Jewish day to atone for misdeeds and become cleansed and purified from them. Isn't that beautiful? So we all need to be cleansed and purified. We all need to be introspect and have that heart of service to our Creator. See, here's the link between, this is all from Wikipedia, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the 10th day of the 7th month, Tishrei, also known as the Sabbath of Sabbaths. Rosh Hashanah, referred to in the Torah, is Yom Teruya. It's the first day of that month according to the Hebrew calendar. Yom Kippur completes the annual period known in Judaism as the High Holy Days, or Yamin Norim, Days of Awe, that commences with Rosh Hashanah. The 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur correspond to the last 10 days of the 40-day period Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the second set of tablets. Okay, so this is all biblical. Isn't that amazing? So as a Bible-believing Christian, these are some things we need to understand our Jewish roots. It's very important because our Mashiach was a Jew. So the heavenly books were opened according to Jewish tradition. God inscribes each person's fate for the coming year into the book, in the book of life, on Rosh Hashanah, and waits until Yom Kippur to seal the verdict. During the days of awe, a Jew tries to amend their behavior and seek forgiveness for wrongs done against God. Bien Adam Lamochem. I hope I didn't say that too terribly. Bien Adam Lamochem. Machom. And against other human beings, Yen Adam Lecavero. It's sounding too Italian. Anyway, the evening and day of Yom Kippur are set aside for public and private petitions and confessions of guilt, vidui, and at the end of Yom Kippur, one hopes that they have been forgiven by God. Now, we know we've been forgiven by God because our word tells us as Christians, Bible-believing Christians, Jesus atone for all of our sins. But we should take these holidays very seriously and also look at them and make them part of our customs, as part of our lives, because it's never bad to fast and pray and be introspective and ask God for forgiveness. You know, all have sinned and fall in short. So the prayer service includes several unique aspects. One is the actual number of prayer services. Unlike a regular day, which is three prayer services, Mariv, which is the evening prayer, Sacharit, the morning prayer, and Mincha, the afternoon prayer, or Shabbat or Yom Tov, which have four prayer services, Ma'aviv, Sacharit, Musaf, additional prayer, Mincha. Yom Kippur is five prayer services, and it has something called the Neila, which is the closing prayer. The prayer service also includes private and public confessions of sins, Vidu. If you're Catholic, you go to the priest. I have sinned. Unique prayer dedicated to special Yom Kippur Avodah service is the Kohen Gadol, high priest in the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. It is one of the most culturally significant holidays. Yom Kippur is observed by many secular Jews who may not observe other holidays, and many secular Jews do attend Yom Kippur service. And then the preceding day is Erev Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's the ninth day of the Hebrew month of Tishrei, and there's morning prayers. So in Leviticus 16:29, it mandates establishment of the holy day on the 10th day of the 7th month as a Day of Atonement for sins. It's called the Sabbath of Sabbaths, and a day upon one must reflect, afflict one's soul. And then tomorrow is a complete day of rest. So, you know, the Yom Kippur selection of the Torah, the word soul appears five times. The soul is known by five separate names: soul, wind, spirit, living one, and unique one. Unlike regular days, which have prayer services, we, as we said, Yom Kippur has five. The Kohen Gadol rinsed himself in the mikvah five times on Yom Kippur. The prohibitions are the following: no eating and drinking, no wearing of leather shoes, no bathing or washing, no anointing oneself with perfumes or lotions, and no marital relations. Interesting. So I like this. So repentance, teshuva, and confessional vidui. The Talmud states Yom Kippur atones for those who repent and does not atone for those who do not repent. Repentance in Judaism is done through a process called teshuva, which is the most basic form. It consists of regretting have committed the sin, resolving not to commit the sin in the future, and to confess it before God. Confession in Judaism is called vidui. There is also a commandment to repent on Yom Kippur. Okay? So this is the beginning of Yom Kippur, and there's a lot of offerings here, and the sprinkling of the holy blood, and the smearing of the blood on the golden altar, preparation for the sacrificial animals, reading of the Torah, changing of garments, offering of rams, burning of innards, and then the tamid offering. So it's fabulous. So something you might want to go ahead and look up on Wikipedia. Talks a great deal. I have a book, Israel's Holy Days, in Type and in Prophecy. And that's very interesting, too, because that talks about how it affects the prophetic times. And, you know, it's Israel's future Day of Atonement. It says, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me when they have pierced and mourned for him, as one mourns for an only child and grieve bitterly for him, as one grieves for the firstborn son. On that day, the weeping of Jerusalem will be great, like the weeping of Hadad Raman in the plain of Megiddo. That's from Zechariah 12, 10 through 11. And there's a future day of atonement for Israel, a future day of atonement for all of us, because now our Lord Jesus is our great high priest. And however, in chapter 23 of Leviticus, it outlines Israel's sacred calendar, and we see the prophetic truth, the future day of atonement. There's going to be a future day of atonement for all of us. And are we written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I mean, it's interesting how it says God will, you know, ordain forgiveness for the nation of Israel. The festivals, Here it says, in previous chapters, the feasts in Leviticus 23 were prophetic. The feast of Passover, unleavened bread, look forward to Christ and our Passover lamb. And then the feast of first fruits was fulfilled at the Lord's resurrection. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead of the first fruits who have fallen asleep. That's 1 Corinthians 15:10. The Feast of Pentecost pointed to a spiritual reaping of the Lord's harvest to bringing the salvation to the Gentiles. See, these are all the Jewish feasts which coincide with Jesus. And the Feast of Pentecost is when they were in the upper room and they start speaking in the tongues, the tongues of fire. So now there's three fall festivals, and I believe they say that Jesus will return, is it on Sukkot or... There's a lot, so much in this, but next is the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's Sukkot. That's where they have the sukkahs. They make the little buildings, and they look, and they worship God, and that's where they eat, and there's all kinds of those lemons and palm branches. So I love our Jewish roots. I am not a rabbi. I just share things and that God puts on my heart to share. And this is Awaken to Empowerment. So let's get into our Yasha prayer forts. Let's go to our Jesus calling. We did a little bit of studying. And see, we have to remember who we are, because our founding of America was actually Judeo-Christian ethics, okay? God is all about countries and boundaries. Mm-hmm. So let's see what we got here. Okay. This is now from Jesus Calling. And today's the 15th. And I will read it. It says, rest in me, my child. This time devoted to me is meant to be peaceful, not stressful. You don't have to perform in order to receive, my love. I have boundless, unconditional love for you. How it grieves me to see my children working for love, trying harder and harder, yet never feeling good enough to be loved. Be careful about that your devotion to me does not become another form of works. I want you to come into my presence joyfully and confidently. You have nothing to fear, for you wear my own righteousness. Gaze into my eyes and you will see no condemnation, only love and delight in the one I see. Be blessed as my face shines radiantly upon you, giving you peace. Father God, we come to you humbly before the throne on a high holy day. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, that he covers our sins. But Lord, we are to confess our sins and contemplate, because it's you that we've sinned against, and we are sorry for our sins. We are sorry for our sins as individuals and as a country, Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people come to me, admit their sins, honor me, I will heal their lands. God, please heal our land. Heal our hearts, God. This is the Yasha Prayer Force portion of our show, God. We ask, God, that you, during this Day of Atonement now, this Rosh Hashanah holiday, that you bless our country, that you bless our leaders, all of our leaders, give them wisdom and discernment, lead, guide, touch our leaders and us individually, God, and bring forth the truth. That is what we need, is the truth. And Lord, we know what's going on in Washington, D.C. There's this General Milley, something, God, expose. If this man is being duplicitous, Lord, bring forth truth, because only you know the truth. So, God, we thank you for this day. We know that it's a day of atonement, and we need to fast and pray. So thank you, God, and we ask this in Jesus' strong name. We also ask, Lord, that you bless America and let us be the change that we wish to see. And now let's get into our history portion real quick of our show, because we're almost, we've only got another 10 minutes here. And this is from that shocking sick. And yesterday we spoke about dying for the stars and bars. Well, this is from Bull Run to Appomattox. an exercise in futility. The American Civil War was a watershed in our nation's history. It redefined the character of the United States and sent population of the South reeling, especially people like Wilmer McLean, who always seemed to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Wilmer McLean was one of the most prosperous residents of Manassas Junction in Virginia in July of 1861 when the Northern and Southern armies began to gather around his place. His 1,400-acre plantation straddled Bull Run, so the Confederates occupied his house and used it as a headquarters in this, the first real full-fledged battle of the Civil War. After the first battle of Bull Run, McLean sold his farm and moved further west out of the line of fire between two contending armies. He assured his family that the sounds of the battle would never again reach them in their new home. In the meantime, battle followed battle, Chancellorsville, Fredericksburg, Gettysburg, Vicksburg, and hundreds of others. For 4 years, Billy Yank and Johnny Reb pounded each other. As they did, they got closer to Wilmer McLean's new home. Finally, in April of 1865, Lee's Army of Northern Virginia and Grant's Army of the Potomac faced each other. And where do you think they were? Somehow at the center of this horrific conflict, which began at his Bull Run farm 4 years earlier, had sought McLean out and found him once more. The Union and the rebel forces were camped once again almost in his front yard. On April 9, 1865, General Robert E. Lee surrendered to Ulysses S. Grant, and since they were so close, the combatants took over McLean's home once again to agree upon and sign the terms of the capitulation. When he left his home in Bull Run to find the safe haven from ravages of war, McLean settled near a Potomac's courthouse, never dreaming it was the jumping from the frying pan into the fire. So that is our little history portion, because we have to remember who we are. We are here for such a time as this, and our country is in some deep weeds right now, friends. Between this Afghanistan situation and... Now, if it's true that this general committed this treason of speaking against the current president, which was Donald J. Trump at that time, this is devastating. What else is going on in the swamp? Do we know? Well, I do know I did get a call from a friend of mine today who's really upset because he's seeing what's going on, and he... actually knew a lot of people that were in California for yesterday's election, and they were being turned away from being able to vote because they were told fill out a whole bunch of provisional ballots and everything else, and but they already voted. Okay, we need to clean up these voter rolls. You know, it is justice to have one man, one vote. That is what this country is. And, you know, for people to go in and cheat, that should be punishable by law, and we should be looking into that. I guess Milley did admit speaking with a Chinese general. Now, I'm wondering if the mainstream media is going to be talking about this. We really need to hold our mainstream media accountable, because media malpractice is abound right now. There's a lot of things they just don't want the people to know, and that is why you've got to get on different venues. That's why podcasts are so great. So, and get perspectives from all over. But meanwhile, we have a country to save, and how we do that is by getting involved and getting engaged. And it's not getting involved with Republicans or Democrats. It's getting involved with people that have a heart to serve. And if you could find people that have things in common with you, start a group, get together, and start reaching out to your communities, especially your school boards, okay? School boards are very important, because if you notice, and we've discussed this before, a lot of these 30-somethings now are despondent and depressed, and they've given up. They just don't feel like they're going anywhere because they get out of college with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and that's why they want their college paid for. That's why they feel America's not working for them. Let's be real. There's a lot of indoctrination that goes on in schools. If you have children or grandchildren that are in public schools, check their book lists. It's important. because sometimes there's a lot of garbage that they put in kids' heads. And as we know, by being awakened and empowered people, garbage in, garbage out. I don't understand why my 9-year-old son needed to be reading Perks of a Wallflower just because he was in a gifted program and his teacher's friend in high school was having her children read about it. She had no idea that there was voyeurism and bestiality and all kinds of other nefarious behavior. Do 9 and 10-year-olds really need to have that garbage in their brains? Seriously, aren't we better than that? Well, we have to remember, thoughts are things, and we become what we think about most of the time. And we have to watch our thoughts because they become our words, and our words become our actions become our habits become our character, and our character ultimately becomes our destiny. And that sets for us as individuals, and that also sets for us as a country. So we need to hold our leadership accountable. We need to hold our media accountable. And you know what? Even the guy who did some bad tweets, yeah, you know, I did a lot of eye-rolling and groaning, but at least there was a strong leader. The man didn't take a paycheck for the love of Pete. He wasn't an insider. He certainly wasn't perfect because none of us are. But you know what? Each of us needs to reach out to others and fight with faith because America is great. It is good because it was founded on great principles. So everyone, thank you for joining me today. I'm going to end this show with a little bit of Boston, of course. Peace, love, freedom, and peace of mind. And with all that, be well, be blessed, be free. Be that change you wish to see. This is Carol Ann Parisi, and it's Awaken to Empowerment Radio. We'll be back next time. And here's Boston with peace of mind. Thank you for joining us today. We'll catch you back here next time at Awaken to Empowerment Radio. Awaken America, because woke is a joke. Have a good day. Bye-bye.